What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Yeah, I think, you know, not as much as we would if he was full go, there's no doubt. But I think, like I said, I'm huge on walkthroughs, on practice, things like that, because until you get on the grass and actually do it and feel the timing and feel the depths of routes and things of that nature, I don't know exactly how much you can get out of that. So I think we're kind of at that point to where we need to start getting those guys when they're available out there and gelling and seeing what we are as an offense.
Cliff Kingsbury with the media today. Welcome back to Grant and Danny.
We are Grant and Danny. We are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Kingsbury's comments were a departure from what we've been hearing previously. I want to open up the phones for the first time today right now so you can hop in line. We'll answer these as they come in and get you on the air at 800-636-1067. Do you think that what we heard is the beginning of a shift in tone for the Commanders, that they will now start addressing the McLaurin situation publicly slightly differently? Because it is August 15th, because we are in now the end of week 2 of the preseason. I mean, this is now the ramp up, final week of the preseason, and then cut down, and you're on to the Giants. So we're here now. Do you think there's going to be a shift, or was this just Cliff making a comment, which is what I am positing? I think he is just an honest guy, doesn't really mince words. By the way, did it in a very respectful way. This is a sharp dude who's been a head coach. He didn't provide crazy headlines, but right away, everybody across the country, from Mike Garofalo to Ian Rappaport to Adam Schefter, was quoting him and saying, here's what Cliff Kingsbury just said. Dan Quinn has not provided that opportunity strategically. There hasn't really been one thing he said about Terry McLaurin that was incendiary enough to make the rounds nationally. That changed a bit with Kingsbury saying, it is time to get our guys practicing. Didn't single him out, didn't mention him by name, but that was obviously who he was talking to when he was asked about Terry. Is this the beginning of a shift in how they're going to talk about him, or is this a one-off? That is the question at 800-636-1067.
I believe this is the beginning of a shift. And Kingsbury, I think you categorized it very well, is honest. Like, he was stating the fact. This is the deal. Everybody knows this. There's a reason we practice. If it didn't matter, we never would do it, but it does. Like, this is the opportunity. This is how we get better. This is how we get ready to play football. He needs to come play football for us to be, ipso facto, ready to play football. I think you're going to see more of this because it is time. I mean, that was my feeling yesterday, and I think more and more are going to come over to this. Again, I think you have to be able to spin two plates. You can have empathy, sympathy, understanding, even a rooting interest in Terry McLaurin earning as much as he possibly can. He's a great dude. He's been very good here, et cetera. The reality of the situation, though, is all of that may be true. The other thing that's true that now wins the tug of war for me, and it sounds like for Kingsbury and maybe for others as time goes on, is true, buddy. Football season now. Under contract now, football team needs you. A worse you is worse for all of us. You're too important. With all due respect, if the 52nd guy on the roster is holding out, we'll be okay. We're not okay without our number one option. You can't get off to a slow start. We can't just give away a month of football while you're getting up to speed. We can't just give away however many games and have an inept offense because you pulled your hamstring because you weren't in game shape yet.
Quinn talks tomorrow morning before practice. They practice, I believe, at 9 a.m. He'll be at the podium at about 8:30, kicking off his Saturday morning. He's going to be asked point blank by somebody. Here's what Cliff said. React to it, or do you agree with him? What's he going to say? That's the other question I've got for people, and I'll give you my guess here in a moment. But 800-636-1067 is how you can hop in. Let's go to Joe, who's at Reston on Grant and Danny. What's up, Joe? How are you?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Joe.
I really think the team at this point does need to come out and change the tone, because I do believe that they've been the utmost professionals in the sense that they've never really leaked the amount of money that Terry was asking or anything about the negotiations. But I think as we get closer to the season, it would do the team a better view, and the fans need to see that maybe Terry is asking for a crazy amount of money and that it's not just their fault in these negotiations. I just think that the line needs to be drawn there so that the fans at least can see what's going on behind the scenes a little bit.
Thank you, Joe. So they have handled it extremely professionally.
Yes.
Maybe even too much so. And here's what I mean by that. I think they would have benefited by actually acknowledging, doesn't need to be public on the record, but enough and more than they have, how out of whack his asks are, if they are, right? If, in fact, he came to them originally at $35 to $40 million, which was suggested by Yahoo's Charles Robinson yesterday, that's something they should put out there. If he's still at $35 million, $34 million, not the $32 or $33 that most of us are assuming, that's something that they should get out there. I believe that. I think that that's how the game works, so to speak. People can say, oh, that's dirty, that's ugly, that's taking the low road. I don't agree. I just think that's how the business works when you've kind of seen how the sausage gets made. And I think they have been exceedingly professional, to some extent, maybe, to their own detriment in terms of negativity. Someone like me, who sees it both ways and presents their side some days and Terry's side another day, I might just see it their way if I knew that Terry and Buddy Baker are asking for something crazy like $37 million right now, right? So that's number one. But number two, when he says it is time, I think there's something to that. My point, though, would be Dan Quinn, I bet, could do this really well, where, like, it is such a great skill, high EQ, sharp, likable, nice people like Dan Quinn. You can kind of jab someone, and they're bleeding, and they don't even know you did it.
Yeah, this is diplomacy time. It ain't easy, right?
But I think he could toe the line, and I think what I would do if I was him is tomorrow when somebody says, hey, yesterday Cliff was sitting in that seat, and he said it's time to get guys on the field, and he was clearly referencing he wants Terry out there. What do you think about that? I would take the bait if I'm Dan Quinn, just a little bit. And I would say, I understand his mounting frustration. We're hoping, if he's going to keep playing this thing like Terry's hurt, he's going to keep playing along with that, he could do whatever he needs to as the caveat. Like, hey, he's working hard, he's getting healthy. But what I would do is make it known. But it's getting late early here. We got a game in 19 days, whatever the number is.
Mm-hmm.
We've only got one more week of the preseason left, and we've now lost some important joint practices. So guys that aren't practicing are paying for it, and their teammates are paying for it some too. So the sooner we can get everybody on the field, the better. It could be that non-threatening, and it would still be a gigantic departure from so far what has just been, yeah, he's hurt. Him and Sam Cosmi are rehabbing. And by the way, we love him, and that's my guy. I love him. It's just business. At some point, I need that to become, we got to have him on the field. And you could say it in however many words you want to,
mm-hmm.
but the shift has to start. And I hope that comes. Like, Kingsbury made it possible for you now. He is.
Open the door.
He went in front of you with like a knife and just knocked down a bunch of weeds so you could walk behind him without as many bugs getting on you.
Good analogy, by the way.
Thank you. I'm
just using the yard work. And I'm like, so what's happening with the knife? And all of a sudden I got the weed whacker. It's easier.
Of the actual
no,
term.
It's a scythe and like you're kind of working through the jungle.
Yeah.
He's blazing a trail.
Like, he's going boom, 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 boom. And now all of a sudden I'm able to like high knee it through there.
I totally get it. I love that analogy. I wasn't even being flippant. I liked it. But I think that's right on. I don't know that that's what Dan Quinn will do in public, honestly. Again, he's such a diplomat. He's such a positive. He's got this very crafted, and again, it sounds like I'm accusing him of being a big fraud. I'm not. He's got this very well-crafted persona.
I think he's actually just a butt nice guy.
Yeah, like that's kind of what he goes about his life 24/7 is to sort of behave this way where no one's getting run under the bus, period, end of story. Not on my watch, right? Like that sort of MO. And any kind of shot across the bow would be taken super significantly because it's him, because that's how he does it. Whereas if Mike Vrabel gets up there as a matter of the fact going, we need him to practice, people are like, yep, there's Vrabel, just Vrabel Vrabeling it up, right? But that's not who Dan Quinn is. So that would be really significant if he did, if you found a way to diplomatically say, obviously he's got to go through some stuff, we totally get it, but at the same time, hey, we need him here, man, it's time.
That's actually a good point, though. I'm just thinking about this. You mentioned Vrabel. A guy like that is viewed more as like a hard ass,
yep.
for lack of a better phrase. a Marty Schottenheimer type disciplinarian. Right. I'd imagine Vrabel would not be playing nearly as nice with this.
Not at all.
Some of how Dan Quinn has handled this is not just team strategy. It is because he's a super nice guy.
So he is, yeah.
That's probably true. And if you're Vrabel, business is business. To some extent, you have to let it play out. I think you'd high-road it for a few days. But I think you'd have a shorter fuse than DQ is shown. And I think you would just push would come to shove faster where you'd be like, guys, I'm not talking about the injury anymore. He's got to practice. Whereas with Quinn, I just don't know how long the leash he's giving McLaurin is. It seems very long. I think it's more possible that he doesn't play against the Giants. Again, I think he's going to, but follow me for a second.
Okay.
In a world where he doesn't play against the Giants, I think it's more possible that at that time Dan Quinn is still like talking about his ankle and how much they love him.
Yeah.
Then that he comes out over the weekend and goes hard and says, he needs to be on the practice field soon. This is getting ridiculous. I just think he's that kind of guy. He's just, at least publicly, behind mm-hmm. the scenes, he might handle his business with a iron fist. But at the podium, I really believe like the next time he says something that will offend a player will be the first. And I think it's one of his greatest skills. I think it's why he's beloved. It's a really, really good thing. Let's go to Drew in Tampa listening on the Odyssey app, free and available wherever you are. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Drew.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've been listening to this now for, a couple months, and I just wish more blame was being put on Terry and his agent versus the organization. And you know, who would have thought of all the players in our organization, Terry McLaurin is the one that's giving us a contract issue. I just think, you know, he's always kind of presented himself as a team player, and clearly right now he's asking for way more than what any other NFL team, including ours, would give him in a contract. And I just think the blame should be put more on him on this. I think the media should be riding him more on this, but you know, a lot of talking heads and a lot of former players will never say that because everybody wants every player to get more money, and that's part of it. But Adam Peters clearly is just not going to pay a 30-plus-year-old wide receiver $35 million a year, and he should. That's what good organizations do.
Thanks, Drew.
Appreciate you.
I think the Terry anger is coming imminently.
Yeah.
This is a ticking time bomb here. I'll speak for myself. We're a few days away from me unloading the magazine in the air. King Kong ain't got nothing on me. But we're getting there, all right? Like 4 or 5 more days. I mean, I think I told you the 25th is kind of my hit the wall. This is now outrageous time. Mm-hmm. But every single night, as I think more and more and more about this, my meter goes up another couple of notches. I view it like an amusement park. That big bucket of water that fills up and then eventually tips over top of all the kids. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
Like, my bucket is filling. And it's filling. It's not filling for Adam Peters or the team, right? I've said my piece on that. I still feel that way. I think that this was somewhat of an unnecessary war to wage. But I've always thought that they're more right than Terry is on the actual numbers. You yesterday basically had your bucket spill.
Yes.
And so Danny's right where Drew wants him to be, and I think there are plenty of people. But I will join you. If you're fighting right now, I'm coming over the hill in the armadillo with AJ to join you very, very soon.
Yeah, so I'm not at the point of anger yet, and I wasn't moved to anger at all for the months that a player is trying to get as much as he can from an NFL organization. I'll support the next guy that does that. But my point now is that goes to the side. This football season is right now. It's time. You know what I mean? Like you're regardless of where that goes, of that negotiation could still be ongoing, by the way. The business of this football season trumps everything else that you may have going on in your contract dispute or your desire to earn in the future. This football season right now, this team, this group, these coaches, this staff, everybody put together is now pulling the rope in the same direction and you're off to the side doing something else. What you're doing, by the way, is valid and worthwhile, but you have to put that aside and pull the rope with the rest of us.
Let's go to Dan, who is in Virginia on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, guys, long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
Got it. So I appreciate it.
Hit that hooray! Hit that hooray! Hit that hooray!
It's too quick, Jim Zorn.
Thanks, guys. I was just curious if the team starts to escalate, do you think Terry could escalate and turn this into a Chris Jones situation where he misses the first 4 games, sit out, and then still accrue his year?
Yes, is my answer to that. Appreciate you, dude. So I wouldn't have thought that at any point in time. But now that we're kind of moving further and further, to me, the agent is the wild card in all of this, where I still think there's an unrealistic expectation or hope or desire from his camp that's advising all of this with Terry and company, that's the last lever you can pull if there is any kind of escalation. So I would have said no way as of a few weeks ago. Now, I'm not as sure. So I do think that's on the table. I hope not, but I think it's on the table.
Chris Jones only missed the one game and then signed a new one-year deal for that season. So he was in the same boat as Terry, had 1 year left, didn't like how much cash was on the year, wanted his new contract, then saved faith with his agent by getting a new one-year deal for a little more money with incentives. He ended up having to play the final week, get a couple sacks to even hit the incentives. That's how the Terry thing could end, I suppose, but he didn't miss four games. I don't think there's been a player that has sat out that deep into the season that I can think of in a long, long time. Can we dig on that? When is the last time a player has actually held out substantially into the year? I can't even recall one, which is why I just kind of refuse to believe that it's a significant possibility with Terry. So I'll say no, I don't think so. What is the benefit to that? Who benefits from that? The team clearly doesn't, but Terry may not care about that. McLaurin doesn't benefit from that. You're closer to getting paid by sitting and not playing football, coming back having not practiced until week four or whatever, and now chasing your tail into week eight. You're finally yourself for a half season, and you're trying to get paid off that. I think you set yourself up for failure doing that. I don't think there's any reason for that. And I don't mean that he's not frustrated. Sure he is, but that puts you further away from getting your bag, I think, than if you just go play football angrily. Joe's in Annapolis on the Fan. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, guys? He requested a trade. Let's call his bluff. Like, let's let Buddy Baker go and explore trade opportunities, because guess what? There's no other team that wants to pay him $32 million a year, plus give us the compensation that we're going to need. So let's let him explore the trade opportunities, see what his true market value is, and we'll pay him $28, $29 million a year, which is what he deserves. I don't know why we haven't done that yet.
I just got a message on the YouTube chat from Tay. He's on this. Le'Veon Bell. That's the right one.
I was going to say that's the last one.
Le'Veon Bell in 2018 didn't play at all over his contract dispute, so didn't accrue the season. Ended up forcing his way out of Pittsburgh and went to the Jets to basically never be heard of again. 3.2 yards per carry the following season in 2019, the lowest of his career. Then he had a disappointing year in 2020 where he played with multiple teams. And then in 2021, played with two other teams. So in the last 2 years of his career, he played on four teams. Over the last 3 years, he had his three worst seasons, then he was out of football. Needless to say, I don't think it worked out very well for Le'Veon Bell, if that's what him and Buddy Baker are going to look at to see how they were able to pull it off.
Exactly right. Especially against somebody at the age that Terry McLaurin is. That's always been
kind of the way. Le'Veon Bell, I know running back's different. Sorry to cut you off. He was only 26.
I would have said 26 or 27 when he did it.
26. Coming off prime of his career.
Coming off of unbelievable top three fantasy draft pick seasons multiple years over.
He touched the ball more than any running back in the NFL the previous year, which is probably why he was so mad. I mean, he was literally just being run into a wall.
Well, he said, treat me as a receiver and as a running back.
That's what he was asking for. He wanted the combination of top running back money and like wide receiver two money, basically. Because he caught 85 balls for 700 yards, and he ran for 1,290 yards.
Exactly. I mean, he was incredible. But the rock and a hard place thing, like the immovable object in this entire thing is that I'm basing everything on that, is it you are not rewarded as a player for not playing football. Like nothing that you want to have happen will happen if you just say, I'm taking my ball and going home. Right? I mean, that's kind of the inescapable truth of this for me.
Do you guys like that Cliff Kingsbury today became the first person with the team to give Terry a little nudge to get back out there publicly? 800-636-1067, you want to hop in on Grant and Danny.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one of those deals. It's just time on task, and luckily they had last year to build a lot of rapport and chemistry, and Terry understands our system going into a year or two, so that should expedite the process. But to me, it's time on task together on the grass is really the only way that you can continue to build.
That's Cliff Kingsbury. He's more handsome and has a deeper voice than me.
Same.
I'm just Grant, and I'm with Danny. This is the Fan Football Talk on the show. Comes your way via Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. All season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Could this be a shift in how the Commanders are going to be discussing the McLaurin saga moving forward? Kingsbury giving the first real public nudging of the player to get back on the field today. Let's go to Karen in Ashburn, who is with us on the Fan. Hey, Karen.
Hi, thank you for having me. I feel like Cliff's comment is open to interpretation and doesn't preclude him from, you know, thinking that the front office should honor Terry's request.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that way.
So you picked up on it. What do you mean, Karen?
So, for example, I think he's being very neutral in wanting both sides to work out a deal, whatever that deal may be. But I think, I think he's I don't think he's necessarily advocating for one party over the other.
That's smart, because I hadn't thought of that, to be honest with you. I looked at it as a coach needing his player on the football field, and the obstacle there for a guy that's under contract this season is the player himself.
She's saying you could take it as him saying, yeah, to Peters, let's get it done.
Yeah, like if, like, you know, I not a great analogy, but if I'm like, you and me need more pens, and it's up to somebody to either buy them or not buy them, it's just declaring that we need more pens. You know, that's basically saying you, my boss, could buy them, or the boss's boss could buy them. Again, terrible analogy, but let's really focus more on the pens and how bad that analogy was. But the point is, you could just as much be saying...
I want to go back to the pens.
Yeah, let's go to that. again, I apologize for that analogy. It was very short notice at 3:30.
How many times are you going to say pens?
Let's talk about the pens. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. The idea could be, though, from her view, is that you're just saying just as much to Adam Peters and the front office as well, going, hey, we need the guy on the field, so whatever you got to do it, let's get it done. I hadn't thought of it that way, honestly, simply because of the calendar, the coach's role in this whole thing, dealing with his offense, his player, his side of the football. But I guess that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's her observation, and there's no right and wrong here because we don't know exactly what he was trying to get across. It's certainly not the way I took it or the way I would perceive it. I think it's the quote that Toby mentioned in the update. Toby, what was the quote that you read in the update? Because that's not even one that we've really called attention to. But it was a little bit less... a little bit less of a blow to Terry, I would say. What was his quote?
He said, I don't think until we get some of these other pieces, talking Terry and Noah Brown back, right, we're going to know exactly where we are.
So, like, that one to me, I interpret the way Karen's saying, where he's just acknowledging, you're asking me questions about what my offense is and how does it look and am I bothered about how we are playing, and I'm telling you, I don't know what my offense is until I get my offense guys back. Until I get my best players back, we have no idea what we are. I don't think that's a dig in any way. I just think he's answering a question. But when you say it's time to get on the field, to me, that is a pretty good indicator. I don't think he's he didn't say it's time to get a contract done. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He didn't say it's time to meet in the middle here. It's time for RGM and his agent to find a way to figure this out. He said it's time to get on the field, meaning it's not like he's a free agent right now.
Right.
And they need to sign him. You're under contract. You're in the building. You're sitting in my meetings watching me. Get your butt on the field. That's how I took it.
I did too. But I hadn't thought of it the other way, so I like that.
John in Arlington, what's up?
Yeah, I had a different point, but Karen brought up a great point. Look at the history between Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco front office. there's pretty much a long documented history of that, and it's starting to sour that when you talk to the San Francisco beat reporters, their coaching staff is not eye to eye with their front office. And maybe that's just kind of the way that things are going here. But at the end of the day, both sides need to do something, because I was excited for week one, but now it's like, yeah, do you really think we're actually going to, you know, beat the Giants without Terry? Because the rest of that wide receiver room is trash. And I also think that Cliff is kind of implying that. I mean, Debo's got an injury history, but, you know, everyone says, well, he's got to play. But listen, you can say that and that he's not that worth that much, but fine. You know, you've got a Montana 10 girlfriend, and you live in Montana, but you want to break up with her because she's not a Florida 10. Well, guess what? You don't have a pathway to that Florida 10, i.e. a wide receiver one. And hopefully you're not drafting in the top 10 in the first round next year to take a wide receiver. So that's...
Thank you,
buddy. Appreciate you, dude.
What's John got against Montana? I've seen Miss Montana. She's a lovely lady.
She seems very nice.
Montana, I mean, there's beautiful people in Montana. This is Miss Montana right here. She seems like she's a good Miss Montana.
Very talented. I don't know. No, but listen, I get the point. Like, you know, talking about the state of the union for the wide receiver group, we talked about a lot yesterday and really kind of throughout this whole process. Without Terry McLaurin, .. I like Debo Samuel a lot. I'm more bullish on him maybe than a lot of folks might be, just, you know, given the career trend line. Another team's trash is our treasure. We don't have that. We've got a weapon now that if you give me 850 total yards, that's way better than what you were getting last year from Noah Brown, Jamison Crowder, and you know, so on down the line. I'm all in favor of that, but that's not enough, right? Him and Noah Brown for seven games that are healthy. Him and, you know, unproven Luke McCaffrey or Jalen Lane, who seems nice at this point. Come on, man. I need my, you know, 1,100 yard, 6 or 7 touchdown, quote unquote, number one option to do what we want to do.
Winning off the field coming up in about 10 minutes on Grant and Danny. All right, let me give you three things I think NFL edition, Danny. While we have a few minutes, I'll go rapid fire
here. All right.
First thing I think, NFL style. Brandon Scherff retiring. Underrated career. 5 Pro Bowls, an All-Pro. If you look at the era with which he played in Washington, he was one of the more accomplished players that was here. He made steady Pro Bowls from 2016 through 2021 almost every single year with this program and was a first-team All-Pro. They don't do that. They have not had first-team All-Pros other than special teamers like Jeremy Reeves. In terms of offense and defense, mm-hmm. He broke a drought in 2020 that went all the way back to like 1991. Now, he was another guy, by the way, they didn't pay. They didn't want to explode the guard market, so they basically tagged him once and then let him walk. This was a couple regimes ago. But Brandon Scherff, very quiet, understated, not a big media guy, very friendly, but just not a big personality who was going to be on social media or anything. Because of that, maybe, didn't get a ton of fanfare, but really, really good career.
A really good player. And I remember the alarm bells going off had they just said from the beginning he's a guard? I would have gone, yeah, I don't know that I love drafting a guard at 5, but whatever. But they said he was a tackle. And when he couldn't play tackle, he lasted an hour and a half, one practice at tackle, and
which
they kicked him into guard.
I think had a lot to do with Morgan Moses, too, because Moses turned into a really good tackle.
Totally fair.
They're like, you know what? We got a really good tackle. We could have a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type guard. Let's just kill two birds with one stone.
And it just goes to show, you know, the little tiny bit that we're fed in the dark, we never know the whole story, because the only sample we had of Morgan Moses was the year before when he was looking left and the defender was to his right and was already in the backfield. That's the last time we'd seen Morgan Moses.
Against Seattle, he didn't know the snap count.
Right? Yeah. Like, so we're going, no, this can't be. Oh, my God, you can't beat out Morgan Moses. By the way, really good career. Morgan Moses, very solid player.
Still playing.
Still kicking, by the
way. Where is he supposed to start? I just saw this. Was it the Ravens or the Chargers? No. Let me look this up.
Who knows?
Morgan Moses is a projected starter at right tackle. It's the Patriots.
For the Patriots. There
that
you go.
That was the preseason game.
So, like, when he got bumped inside after 90 minutes, we went, oh, my God. I don't know about you. I went, oh, my God, what a disaster.
Yeah.
This is going to be terrible. Not at all. Just a really good NFL career.
He announced his retirement yesterday, though, so happy trails to him. All right, number two, thing I think, NFL edition. People, you know who you are. You people are too low on the Cincinnati Bengals. I've been thinking about this a lot. They had a bottom three defense in the league last year. They went 4-4 when they scored 30 or more points. Very hard to do. They had a horrendous September because they didn't take the preseason seriously at all again. And they still missed the playoffs by one game. All of those things happened, and they missed the playoffs by one game. With Joe Burrow at the helm and the Chase Higgins-led passing game, Chase Brown, who I think's completely underrated at running back, they're so electric on that side of the ball. I do think they're a Super Bowl contender, and they get talked about like a team that might miss the playoffs. Now, I understand why. Their defense is a shebangus. It just has to be bad. Be normal bad. Don't be terrible. If they're not bottom five in the league, if they're 20th, if they're 22nd, that is a team no one will want to play in the playoffs. I think people are way too low on the Cincinnati Bengals going into the playoffs.
I think
going into the season.
I think that is correct. Remember, they started last year 1-4. Somebody beat them in week 3. Something pretty epic if I have to go back and look at it.
Was it a night game?
It was an evening game.
Was it in Cincinnati?
It was. It was a primetime game.
I don't remember it.
No, me either. A big blank. So the only win was against a lowly Carolina Panthers team that was just a hot mess at that point. They lost in overtime in week 5, I believe, to the Ravens, 41-38, one of the games of the year. After that, that's an 8-4 team with a pretty tough schedule. Ripping, and just as you said, the offensive just ripping through people, scoring over 30 points a game. The defense was okay after that. Now, I'm not telling you it was good, but if you get more of a repeat of that where the defense is just regular bad, not even good, not even okay, regular bad, not historically, oh my God, I can't believe I just saw that bad, that's a 10-11 win team in a really tough division.
Third thing I think from the NFL right now, took a deep dive into the week 1 schedule, getting a little antsy for the start of the season. The best game by far on the week 1 slate is Ravens-Bills. Sunday night football.
That'll do it.
That's the one, my friends. Normally you kick it off with like an epic Thursday night game. Cowboys-Eagles, fun because of the NFC East, but it's fine. It's not a great game. There are other interesting games. I think Buccaneers-Falcons will be really compelling. Panthers-Jaguars, interestingly, could be fascinating. I can't wait to watch Raiders-Patriots. I think both of those teams have a chance to be surprise teams in the AFC. We talked about Seattle earlier. 49ers-Seahawks is going to be pretty telling. Lions-Packers, awesome week 1 game. And then the Monday Nighter between the Vikings and the Bears in the North as well, really, really good. But I think the best game of week 1, pretty easily, when you look at the matchups, Ravens-Bills, Sunday Night Football, NBC does it again.
Yeah, that's your one seed, I think, for the weekend. I think that's, as Coach Tom Sula once said, I think that's fair to say. Lions-Packers is my two seed there, probably, and everybody else is kind of vying for third place.
Winning off the field on Fridays. We do it in lieu of a double play right around 3:45. So as soon as we return, you will tell us what little thing went well in your day. These are small things that put a smile on your face in honor of Bruce Allen that have absolutely no major importance to anybody else.
Mm-mm.
Next on Grant and Danny.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is time to win off the field. These are teeny tiny mini moral victories. Very small things that'll put a smile on your face that nobody else would appreciate. Don't do it for me and don't do it for Danny. Do it for the Goose, Bruce Allen.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
Danny, give the people an example they can line up their winning off the field for us at 800-636-1067.
So sometimes I think it's instructive for what we're doing here, GP, to help people understand what this is by giving you an example of what it's not. You follow that? Like to put the guardrails on. I can tell you how I'm not winning off the field if you want. So as a way for you to get inspiration at 800-636-1067 for how you might be winning off the field. So I did post game last night for the Nats, hung out. Nice win, well-pitched game. Good to see Brad Lord. Good to see a couple young kids do some things. Great to have Dylan Cruz back. So what's the problem? Let's see if I can show you, GP, what happened? So as I'm leaving the little toaster oven there in left field, you know that how's there's a little tree next to the toaster oven there in section 106, and there's that iron guardrail around it so you don't step in where the plants are.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? So I'm trying to go out of there once everything's closed and I can see them locking up all the gates and everyone's trying to leave and stuff, and I got to go get to my car and hit that stupid buzzer to let me back up the parking garage just so I can leave. I was going too fast, and look at my shin.
He scraped his shin.
Can you see that? I banged my shin on the iron. My shin, Ogasawara, who got his first Major League win last night. I banged my shin and then scraped it also going by, and I screamed bloody murder last night because it hurt so bad. It bothered me so much that I would roll over in my sleep. I'm not even, you know, you're sleeping. You don't even know what your body's doing for the most part. And it would catch a certain way, and it woke me up.
Your first scene, by the way, loudest guy to have something happen to him.
Yeah.
Like the stubbing of a toe.
That's right.
Bumping into something.
Everyone's going to know about it.
Danny needs the entire room to be like, dude, you okay? So it is a loud scream.
It's a big production.
If it's a second scream needed, you will do that too. Mm-hmm. This is actually, I need to make a list of things next time I see your wife to talk to her about. But I want to ask her about this.
Loudest scream, most likely to stub his toe and let everyone know that it happened. Big noise, big production.
Here's my other one I want to bring up with your wife.
Okay.
What does she think of you as a driver? My wife thinks I'm a like aggressive driver. Hmm. Most wives are bothered by their
You mean
husband.
Every wife ever?
Yeah, exactly. Like, but what does she say about you? I cannot keep up with you on the road. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anyone who drives as like, you never get speeding tickets, do you?
I mean, I have in my life, sure.
Like,
but
the other day, I came out of the garage behind you.
Uh-huh.
And I can't tell you how many times in the past I've been behind you and you just like cut over four lanes. It's not like you're trying to have me follow you. So you're not like being like, I can't leave Grant. But just like, I have actively been like, all right, today I'm going to keep up with Danny. So the other day, this is like kind of a little bit of a bit that I have with Ryan, where I'm like, all right, I'm behind Danny. Here we go.
Wait, seriously?
Dead serious.
Oh.
You hauled ass.
Yeah, it's time to go.
It's such a bad out of hell thing.
Yeah, time to go.
So like you get from the little merge lane on 395 from South Cap to the four lanes over in 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other cars in the way. They're gonna have to wait. Okay.
So like you're making it I'm cutting people off. I don't think I'm doing that.
You're not completely cutting people off.
But I'm not is what you're telling me?
You're not that worried about if they have to hit their brakes. That's what I'm gonna say.
Wow. But
this is less about like you're taking it the wrong way. What I'm trying to tell you is I want to go back to the beginning.
Okay.
What does your wife say about your driving? Because as your work wife or whatever I am to you.
Work spouse, yeah.
If I got paid $1,000 to keep up with you, I couldn't do it. I lost you. The vision. You were gone. You were gone. And I was, because you like, you'll like hit me up sometimes in your home. We live about equidistant, different places, but kind of equidistant. And I'm like 12 minutes from home. And I'm like, how in the hell does he do this? Now, sometimes you know a different way or you're in the city or you're. You know, you've got some tunnel that you take or you hit a button and you go down with the turtles under the ground and you come back up in Arlington or something.
Mm-hmm.
You've got these weird things.
Yeah.
But in some cases, like in this case, I was like, I'm just going to keep behind him. So I'm like hauling it. But then I'm like, he's 100 yards, 400 yards, 600 yards.
He's gone.
It's just unbelievable. But your kids aren't in the car. I don't know if you do the same thing with your kids in the car or not.
I think I just go.
Clary, do you have anything to add to this? Because you're kind of in on this bit with me.
Yeah, I mean, this has honestly been like a couple of years now running at this point. With like Grant will be behind you. I mean, it's not that like you know, like and honestly,
it's
think
it's not
Grant,
like a serious thing. It's more like a fun thing.
Yeah, it's like Grant will like call me. He's like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe
I'm right behind Danny. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and I'm not going to speak for Grant on this, but like I think this is not like a shunning you. I think he's like proud of you and being like I want to do the same thing, right?
It's definitely not.
It's
shunning.
Not that.
It's definitely not shunning. It's not a proud. It's an observation. It's like
it just is.
I want to know what your wife thinks. I want to keep going back to this because all I can think about is what my wife says about me. Like you drive too fast. You're too aggressive. You're too, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm in single A Fredericksburg compared to this guy.
Well, I will say this. One thing I've noticed over the last several years, it used to be like if there's a family. Everybody's going. We're piling into the car and going. Dad drives. Like I've always taken that on. It's no problem.
But do you
happy
drive
to do
differently
it.
If your family's in the car than you did like yesterday going home?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit less aggressive on the weaving in and out of traffic because again, it's time to go. But what I've noticed is the number of times my wife's going, nope, it's fine, I'll drive. And she goes too slow.
But some of it, too, is it's not like, I think we're overdoing the speed. Like, I was kind of joking about you cutting people off, whatever. That was kind of a bit. Mm. But it's the velocity that I, like, you know how I can't throw a baseball that fast, we found out?
We did discover that.
395. It's kind of wide open at this point. I'm going, I don't know, let's say 70. I'm losing you. I don't know where you are anymore. It is unbelievable. I just can't fathom. It's incredible. Mm. But does this check out? Do you think I'm crazy? Like, what is your mindset in those moments?
I think it's a little overstated. I will say I'm not a distracted driver, and my guy Grant is. I mean, you got your phone. This is phone time for you. It's not for me. It's down, and it's time to go home. Like, when it's home time, that's the goal.
No, if we're picking nits, that is definitely one.
If it's travel time, if we're going to the airport, if we're going on the plane, time to get on the plane. Time for the bus to leave. Right. Time for the train to leave.
So, but this is the same thing.
This is my pathology.
This is how you do it in the airport. Yeah. And your point is, I'm pulling up my pants. I'm tightening my belt.
Right. You're like, where's my charger? I left my bag at the restaurant we were just at, which you did.
I'll wear that.
Yeah. Like,
but you also are sprinting. And in a car, the sprinting version of that is, oh my God, how are you doing this so quickly?
It is the focus on going, brisk, efficient movements at all times. I'm a city walker. I'm an airport walker. I don't sprint. I did sprint in the airport this past weekend just to get home. But I've had to do home alone moves. But in general, it's time to focus on what we're doing. And what we're doing right now.
What was
is
the
going
thing
home.
you talk about, Clary, where you were meeting Danny somewhere and he was there way before you and you're like, how did you get there? And he's like, I drove. Or you were like telling me some story.
I forgot. I know this is terrible. I forgot what it was, but Danny and I think we're like meeting after the show. No, what it was. It was him leaving the Gary, my apartment last year, coming into the office. I remember as I was pulling in, again, we left at the same time, and I saw Danny and his kids walking up the stairs, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I'm like pulling in the garage. I'm like, how'd you get here?
Right. And you're like, I felt like I did it pretty efficiently.
Yeah. I thought.
Yeah, I drove. It's time to get there.
He drove.
You got to go.
The only reason I bring it up is this was particularly incredible.
Yeah.
The other day, I was just like, I was across. Clary's like, where are you at? And I'm like, I'm at the Pentagon. He's like, you're already up at the Pentagon? I'm like, yeah. He's like, and you still don't see him? I'm like, no, he is gone.
He's gone.
Like, Clary's on the 14th Street Bridge. I'm at the Pentagon. I'm a mile ahead of him, and I have now lost my suspect.
Man. So yeah. Well, I was saying we didn't talk about it much, but I think my wife now. He's like, no, I'll drive. Like, kind of brushes me away. So I don't think she likes it. I don't think she likes the way
this
I drive.
By the way, this is not me like joning on you. Like, I'm totally some fun. Great driver.
I'm fun.
My wife hates me driving. She'll actually, to your point, like when we're all going somewhere, she prefers to drive. As you said, she knows like I'm going to probably at some point pull up a podcast on Spotify, maybe check the old text or like, I got bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
You've called those out correctly. But anyway.
Yeah.
I would be winning off the field if I could ever keep up with you.
Well, she also knows that how impatient I get if there's any kind of traffic. And she's just going to go like 57 the whole time, no matter where it is on the highway, which drives me crazy.
How did we get on that? The other thing I want to bring up with her is you're winning off the field, but I don't remember now.
No, because the answer is I'm not winning off the field is I drilled my shin last night.
I want to ask her about you, like, the last time Danny stubbed his toe, what happened? And, like, how big of a day-ruining event was
it? It's a big production, and she'll let you in on that. That's true.
It's crazy. There was actually a camera in the ballpark last night, and I have live footage, live reaction.
You do?
Yeah, it's insane.
The Nats sent that to you?
Yeah, they did. Here it goes.
So nice.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
The best bit.
Ah!
Family Guy, Peter Griffin.
I guessed. Whenever Darius plays something that he's giggling about, that I don't know what it is, I just assume it's Family Guy.
I think the first time they did that was during a fight with the chicken, and he ended up hit banging his shin.
Yeah, like early in Family Guy's catalog, for sure. Yeah.
Scott and Culpepper, we got to be quick, but I know you want to hop in. What's up?
You drive like my wife.
Me?
Yes.
Mm. Why do you say that?
Yeah, keep up with your bro.
I don't think you understand what's happening here. This guy, I don't know how many cylinders he has. It's not possible, okay?
I don't know if it's an engine issue.
I don't know. I literally, Scott, said to myself, I'm going hell or high water. I will be on his ass.
But you were. And you were not paying attention to the way he was driving. So just keep up with him.
I just don't have the club in the bag. you would need to have watched what happened, and you'd be like, oh, you were driving like a maniac, and somehow still 3 miles behind him. I think that would be your takeaway. It's possible I'm wrong. It's possible someone would say, guy, you got to pick up your game. Come on, what are you doing? This particular, I literally was on, I was like, all right, today's the day.
You got to see the moves before they happen.
I don't get to pull out behind you all the time.
That's right.
But this was, this particular instant, I'm pulling out behind you, and I'm like, today's the day. I'm keeping up with Danny. Here we go. I'm locked in. I'm in the bobsled. Didn't happen. Beltway Blitz is next.
Winning off the field.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.